4:05, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA, Wednesday afternoon. It's beautiful outside. I can tell you that because I was just outside. It is a day where if you have the opportunity, get outside and enjoy it. Low humidity, I think that's the secret here, because it's not cold. 85 degrees. But it is a nice day to get outside. So go and enjoy. We got a couple of nice days, looks like. LeVar Stoney, remember him? Plays the part of the mayor in the city of Richmond. He held, apparently, a press conference to talk about all of his great accomplishments. And then after those 3 seconds were over, he answered questions, I guess, about, all of the shenanigans and all of the bad stuff happening at City Hall since he has been the mayor. Richmond has had a lot of bad mayors through the years, so this is quite the distinction for him. And it's quite challenging to get to this point, but he truly is the worst mayor in the history of the city of Richmond. And that's saying something. There have been some bad mayors in the city of Richmond. He says that the lack of transparency by his administration is not a big deal. And the improper use of city-issued credit cards, not a big deal. I would also say not a big deal would be schools that, educate the children. That's not a big deal for him. Fixing potholes, not a big deal for him. There are people who have been suspended at City Hall for misusing the credit cards, but he doesn't think that's a big problem. So, anyway, I just want to share that because, as you know, LeVar Stoney has announced, made it official, that he is running for the Democrat Party nomination for lieutenant governor, which, if all goes according to my vision, means he will be running against John Reed for lieutenant governor, right? John has not officially said he's running for lieutenant governor on the Republican side, but as you know, he's crisscrossing the state, holding all sorts of events. I don't believe that he's engaged in any actual fundraising yet, but I'm not sure. But here's what I've said in the past. When John makes it official, if John makes it official, then for what it's worth, I will absolutely, positively, firmly, totally, completely offer my support. I don't know what it's worth, but I certainly will. And I'll make a donation to his campaign because I think he would do an excellent job. And in all candor, if it's John Reed versus LeVar Stoney, really, is there a choice? Well, I don't think so. Chronic Care of Richmond text line 833-804-1140. 833-804-1140. Do you remember little Jimmy Acosta over on CNN? I don't know what's happened here. He was interviewing the communications director for the Kamala Harris campaign for president, which is great. I mean, that is the job to have, because let's face it, she doesn't do any communicating. So you can just, I guess, sit back and, I don't know, pick sand out of your belly button or something. But this guy actually went on with little Jimmy Acosta. And I know it's going to come as a shock to you, but Acosta actually kind of, sort of, in a roundabout way, asked a serious question, right? Cut number 7.
You know, Michael, I'm sure this is not going to be the first time you've heard this question, but the Trump campaign is also going after the vice president for not doing enough interviews, for not holding a press conference. Would it kill you guys to have a press conference? Why hasn't she had a press conference?
Listen, the vice president and Governor Walz have been busy crisscrossing this country since the launch of this campaign and adding Governor Walz to the ticket. You saw the ways in which they went to across the battleground states last week, generating rallies of thousands, 10,000 here, 15,000 there. But
Michael, you know, a campaign rally is not a press conference. Do you mind if I cut in? I mean, you know, a campaign rally is not a press conference. Why hasn't she had a press conference? She's the vice president. She can handle the questions. Why not do it?
We absolutely are going to do it. You hear her take questions as she's out on the stump. And she's, as she said last week, we're going to be having a sit-down interview here before the end of the month. What she's going to be focused on and what this campaign is going to be focused on is communicating directly with the voters that are actually going to decide the pathway to 270 electoral votes. That's why she and Governor Walz
went across this week?
The country this past week. That's why we're doing a bus tour in Pennsylvania as we head into Chicago. And it's why we'll sit down for an interview before the end of the month to make sure that we can have a deep dive conversation about the vision that Kamala Harris has for where she wants to take this country and the contrast that we're going to have with Donald Trump. We're going to have plenty of opportunities to do that throughout the
Michael,
rest of
but one interview by the end of the month.
End of this month and throughout the rest of the campaign.
I don't want to, you know, belabor this, but one interview before the end of the month. I mean, that's not a lot. I mean, can you commit to a press conference before the end of the month?
We will commit to directly engage with the voters that are actually going to decide this election. And that is going to be complete with rallies, with sit-down interviews, with press conferences, with all the digital assets that we have at our disposal. We are running a campaign that is built to communicate with the voters that are actually going to decide the pathway to 270 electoral votes. We are confident in the plan that we have in place, and we're going to execute on that plan.
Wow. Man, when you are losing support from a suck-up like little Jimmy Acosta on CNN, there's something going on, don't you think? Now, it has been 24 days since she was handed the nomination, since they all stuck knives in Joe Biden's back, and they stole the nomination from Joe Biden, and they gave it to her. This was your prototypical palace coup. In all that time, she has not faced the media at all. And I have to wonder, what exactly does she think would happen if she did have a press conference? These are all folks who are in the tank for her to begin with. They are all on her side. A press conference, quite frankly, would be a love fest. So I don't even know why she's not doing them. It's crazy to me. But what she is doing, she is out in battleground states meeting voters. You don't like her. I don't like her. You're not going to vote for her. I'm not going to vote for her. But what happens if she does, in fact, meet a voter who at this point is undecided? Because there are people who are undecided in swing states. I know it seems crazy. But there are. And this presidential election will come down, as it has for many years now, with about 48-49% of the country voting for the Democrat, 48-49% of the country voting for the Republican. Approximately 2%, could be a little bit more, maybe even up to that 4% mark. Those are undecided voters in those handful of swing states. And they will decide who is the president and who is not the president. And I wish that we had a more informed electorate. Absolutely, I do. Story today from our friends at the Media Research Center. 70% of Democrats have no idea about Kamala Harris's record. So you and I are saying, well, you know, she was in charge of the border. And then they jump online. Oh, really? I didn't know that. They jump online and big tech has scrubbed that. And these awful excuses for reporters are going back and rewriting their own stories to remove mention of her appointment as the point person on the border. I would be mortified. But they're doing it. So those 70% of Democrats who, well, a handful of them probably do want to know the truth. They would like to know what's really going on, but they go online, they're trying to do their own research, and they cannot find it. So they turn around and tell you, you are not telling the truth. And they, well, they might very well wind up voting for Kamala Harris. It's amazing how this is working. I don't know about you. I am feeling less connected to the political process the more that I am involved. And I'm not a politician, right? I'm not. I don't work for a political party. My salary is not based on number of people who vote this way or that way or anything else. And I got so many interests and passions outside of this here little show that we do. I am feeling, though, pulled more and more and more in different directions that have nothing to do with politics. And part of the reason for that is that I see, unfortunately, where we seem to be headed. I'm doing my best. It is 4:15, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. 4:22, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. All right, unless you're driving, by a show of hands, how many people, when you heard the overnight low temperature was going to be 61, thought to yourself or said out loud, oh, open the window? Yeah. I'm telling you right now, humidity is low, right? So there's not, I don't think there's any pollen stuff, although... It might be, so I got to check the pollen alerts, but 61 degrees overnight, mostly clear. I'm telling you right now, we are turning off the AC and we're opening the windows. It's going to be beautiful, beautiful sleeping weather. God, nothing I like more than great sleeping weather during the night, unless it's great sleeping weather during the day. I've come to the point where I think of naps and think, wow, that looks like fun. I want clear weather or rain for sleeping. So now that you know all that about me and you're thinking, oh my gosh, please, it's enough already, Jeff. Can you tell us something that really matters? Yes, of course I can. Most Democratic voters don't know about Kamala Harris and her radicalism. Brand new study, Media Research Center. You know, they've been with us many times, Media Research Center, the good people. They were asked about 10 different aspects of Kamala Harris's public record. Between 71 and 80%, 86% of these Democrats and independents either said, quote, they had not heard of Harris's position or they were unaware. Wow. Unaware. 86% unaware that Kamala Harris said we should have death row inmates voting. 81% unaware that Kamala Harris said she wanted to eliminate all private health insurance. 78% unaware that she promoted a bail fund for the violent protesters during the 2020 riots. 77% said they did not know she supports abolishing ICE. 75% do not know she was named the most liberal United States senator, surpassing Bernie Sanders. 74% said they were unaware that she said entering the United States illegally should not be a crime. 73% unaware that she co-sponsored the Green New Deal. 72% unaware that she never visited a single conflict zone on the border, as the borders are. 71% unaware that she said we should defund the police. 71% unaware that she said we ought to be paying reparations to black Americans to make up for slavery in the United States. Is that not crazy? Oh, no. All right. So hang on a second here. Whoa, Jerm, you've got. All right. Listen, Jeremy is sending me. This is incoming at the moment. If we've got time, Jerm, let's hear Kamala Harris and her radicalness.
And yeah, I am radical. I do believe that we need to get radical about what we are doing and take it seriously.
Should black people get reparations?
I think there has to be some form of reparations, and we can discuss what that is.
Oh, okay. Well, can we discuss what it is? Because I'm just saying that if I never owned slaves, it seems ridiculous for me to make any sort of payment to someone for slavery when they've also not been a slave. Right? I mean, are we not past, well, I was going to say, are we not past all this? But now we know we're not. We know we're not. So the craziness with her gets deeper and deeper and deeper. But the vast majority of Democrats and independents have not heard reporting on this. I wonder who's responsible for that. All right. Kash Patel from the Trump administration, Donald Trump's presidential administration, going to be joining us in a few moments. Looking forward to chatting with him. Oh, and Mike Dickinson's coming up at 5:33, our erstwhile citizen reporter. Tomorrow morning, 6 a.m., my buddy John Reed is going to be here. Please make sure you listen to John. It is 4:26, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 4:34, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Beautiful Wednesday afternoon. I'm telling you, if you get the chance, head on out. Not that I'm counting, but about 90 minutes from now, I will be out on the Arcadec deck enjoying an adult beverage and this beautiful weather. Bill O'Reilly's going to be with us. I don't know if it's next week or the week after. It's been a while. But looking forward to welcoming him back to the program. So, news report there. Well, you know, we got this inflation. Not as bad as it was. Man, 3.5 years, these folks in the White House, Kamala Harris and Joe Biden, have completely and totally wrecked the economy that former President Trump built. And you and I are paying the price when we go to the pumps, when we go to the supermarket. It's absolutely incredibly bad. It's just that simple. Now, we got to right this. And I personally, as you know, have placed my hope in former President Trump. I think we do have to make America great again. Cash Patel, senior advisor to former President Trump, served in the Trump administration. Great guy. And Cash, you don't mind if I share with everybody. I mean, they're going to be UVA people that are not thrilled with this, but you are a university guy, are you not?
I'm a spider, you know. I made some trips to UVA, but Richmond's my stomping ground.
Well, we are thrilled to have you back. I think we can say that, and it's good to hear your voice. You want to give me some of the lay of the land, because there are a lot of us out here saying we're placing our hope, our trust in President Trump, but man, every piece of news that comes out says, well, you know, take a look at the polls. It's all going Kamala Harris's way now.
Well, listen, I'm not the pollster. I'm not the economic genius. I'm the everyday life guy. And what I saw in 2016 was 98% of these polls said Hillary Clinton was going to win by 98% of the vote. Yeah. And so I don't trust the polls. What I trust is your show. What I trust is your viewers. What I trust is the everyday Americans I meet across this country when I do events for the president. And I meet them and I ask them, what are your concerns and who's solving them? And every single time I talk to Americans, they're like, President Trump has resolved our economic problems, our national security problems, our overseas diplomatic problems, the never-ending wars, and everything else that they care about. So it's pretty simple to me. The Hollywood bonanza launch and the swoon for Kamala Harris and Walz is about to be over, mm-hmm. and we'll get back to everyday life. And it's our job to remind Americans who are in the middle to say, hey, were you better then or are you better now? What do you want for your kids and what do you want for your future?
Those are the questions, right? I mean, were you better off when President Trump was in the Oval Office and you want your kids to be able to buy a house in the neighborhood? They can't do it now. That's what you have to talk about.
Mortgage, I mean, listen, again, I'm not the economic housing genius. I wasn't a Wall Street finance guy. But I can't buy a house right now with these skyrocketing mortgage rates yep. and interest rates. They're astronomical. Yeah. I can barely get rent for everyday Americans. It's serious. That's the truth. They pass off, the industry and the government passes off these costs to everyday Americans and says, oh, we'll give you, this is how the 2008 crisis happened. We'll take care of you for the first year, but don't worry about that skyrocketing interest rate that will put you underwater in years 3, 4, and 5 when we take your house back. That's the kind of scam that Harris and Biden ran. Remember, it was during the Biden-Obama industry that the titans of housing crashed our market. And you also don't have to be a genius to know, if I go to the grocery store, why am I paying $6 for a jar of peanut butter? Why am I paying $6 for a dozen eggs? Why is gas $4 a gallon? Again, you don't need a doctorate in high finance to know the Biden administration is crushing everyday Americans.
Great points. Cash Patel is joining us, senior advisor to President Trump. Now, here's the problem, I guess, that is being put in front of us. We see this every day, but then we hear that Kamala Harris is now saying, well, here's my plan if I'm elected. And I don't know about you, I'm thinking, you were elected. You're in office now. Why aren't you doing anything?
No, we need to remind people about the two most critical issues of our time, the economy and national security. Kamala Harris was the border czar. You don't have to believe me. Go to Kamala Harris's Twitter account when she was vice president, where she said, I humbly accept taking a leadership role as vice president for our border. That's what she said.
That's right.
How has the border turned out? Name me a community in this country where CCP fentanyl hasn't killed a member of this community, especially our youth. Name me a state in this country that an illegal immigrant hasn't come across the border illegally and ravaged and raped or murdered or put narcotics into our children's schools in this country because of the Harris-Biden border policy. And not to mention the worst thing, or I mean, I don't know if it's worse, but equally as bad, 100 terrorists have come into this country and the FBI DHS under Biden and Harris have lost them.
Yeah. It's man, you know, I could lose my socks for a couple of moments. I would find them, right? They're important to me. I'm getting dressed. How do you lose actual ISIS terrorists? I mean, the mind boggles, Cash.
Look, I'm a national security guy. That's what I did. I was deputy director of national intelligence. I ran Trump's counterterrorism program, and then I was chief of staff at DOD. Donald Trump prioritized the safety of this country above all. Americans and America first. Do whatever it takes, he said, to end the forever wars and to safeguard our borders and to take out our enemies overseas. That's how we brought home 54 hostages, more than every president before him combined. That's how we ended multiple never-ending wars. That's how we were gaining respect on the global stage and defeated and took out Soleimani, Baghdadi, and so many other terrorists. We prioritized that. The Harris-Biden regime did the opposite. They said, hey, we are going to let the border open. Our adversaries, Iran, we're going to give them $7 billion. They're going to go work with Al-Qaeda to launch another world war in Israel and their other proxies there. And they're going to cede terrorists through our border. That's how we lose them, because the Biden-Harris administration wants their illegal voting operation to come in through the border so they can give everyone a voter ID. But along with that comes criminals and terrorists, but they don't care. That's a trade-off they're willing to accept. Are you?
Well, Cash, here's a weird thing. To get into one of these Kamala Harris events, you have to show ID so that she can lecture you and tell you why you don't need ID to vote. I mean, the hypocrisy and the disconnect is just off the freaking chart.
Well, we should call out their hypocrisy every step of the way, but we should also not be dismissive of, you know, when they make a smart move. That's a smart move, registering voters who show up, even if it's a couple thousand at a time. I remind your audience, the last election was 4 states and 45,000 votes. That's nothing.
Yeah.
So, you know, we need to be doing more voter registration. We need to be going out there and localizing our communities and saying we want to clean the voter scrolls. Just here in Nevada, just last week, a court ruled that we eliminated 90,000 people off the voter rolls who did not qualify. That's how you ensure election integrity. Right. And you sign up more registered voters to vote in your community. Everyday Americans be doing exactly what they are doing.
I'll tell you what, here in Virginia, our governor, Glenn Youngkin, just last week instituted a rule about the way that ballots are counted. They're all going to be paper ballots, real secure measures.
Good.
And it's, you know, it's not about him taking one side or the other. It's just simply about saying your vote deserves to be counted and we're not going to allow any shenanigans.
What's wrong with that? And, right. And remember, when the Democrats call out these lawful constitutional voting requirements and voting laws, they are the hypocrites yet again, because they know if we do it the way the law says, Donald Trump's going to win. But if they want to rig another election and run another Russiagate or write another 51 intel letter or tell you another lie about Hunter Biden's laptop, you bet your bottom dollar it's coming, because they can't win on policy. They can't win on the operations of the Biden-Harris regime. So they are going to manufacture false votes, voting capabilities, and they're going to manufacture disinformation campaigns to attack Donald Trump. All President Trump needs to do is what he's been doing. Continue shouting out his policies, how much better America was under his administration, because you don't have to take a gamble. You just looked to 4 years ago and saw how good you were doing, how great your job was, how successful your children were, how awesome our schools were, and how much we enjoyed safety, put cops and veterans and law enforcement first. That's the America I want to live in, and I think most Americans too.
I couldn't agree with you more. Cash Patel is joining us. Cash is a senior advisor for President Trump and held so many important, vital roles in the Trump administration. I'm just going to leave it at that. One of the things you referenced was national security. You talked about our standing in the world. Cash, I had planned for next week. I was not going to be here. I was going to be fulfilling a lifetime dream. I was going to be visiting Israel. And that and that trip has now been canceled as a result of a re-energized Iran that got $7 billion from Kamala Harris and Joe Biden.
Yeah, look, here's the perfect example of the difference in national security. Donald Trump recognized the mullahs in Iran for the number one state sponsor of terror that they were. We designated all of them as state sponsor of terrorists. We crippled them with sanctions. We suffocated their ability to contact the local and international banking systems. We suspended their ability to trade and to gain more material for their nuclear weapons program. We brought the house when it came to Iran, bottom line. What did Joe Biden and Kamala Harris do? They reversed those designations. They refused to call Hamas, the Iranian proxy force that launched the war into Israel, forcing you to cancel your vacation. They refused to call them terrorists until we embarrassed them after 2 years worth of publicity campaigns. They reversed and said, oh, wait, Donald Trump was right. When you don't treat terrorists as terrorists, they launch wars. And what's worse, now Iran has been shown to have actual nuclear material for a nuclear bomb. The one thing that we have to deter Iran from is what the Harris and Biden administration have allowed them to achieve. That should scare everyday Americans, and that should cause them to say, Donald Trump, please secure our nation against Iran again.
No doubt about it. Kash Patel, can I ask you what is going on inside the campaign? Because let me tell you what I get asked as a question. People say things, okay, we're on board. We absolutely know we were better off when President Trump was president. Of course we're going to be voting for President Trump, or we're telling our friends. But we have friends who are undecided. We have friends or relatives who live in Pennsylvania, Michigan, and they go to do some research, and they're looking for border czar Kamala Harris. And as you and I both know, Cash, the big tech people are scrubbing things. People are rewriting stories. So what is it that we, just as loyal MAGA supporters, can do? And what is President Trump doing at this very time?
It's a pretty important, maybe the most important thing you can do, is energize behind one thing. Pick one topic. You've got 86 days, and take that topic to your community: education, health care, cops, law enforcement, military, border security, overseas, never-ending wars, what have you, and write about it and talk about it every day in your local communities and register voters. Follow Donald Trump when he's going around the country talking to everyday Americans to tell you about his policy, and provide the American people with the truth, the documents. You don't have to summarize it. You can dole it out. It's on President Trump's campaign website. It's also in my book, Government Gangsters, which President Trump made a bestseller. We took the materials from the DOJ and the FBI, the DOD, the intelligence community, and everywhere else, and we took their letters and we stuffed them in a book, and we said, here, you, the American people, can read the receipts yourself. You do not need to be lectured on the truth. You need to read it yourself. And that's the power of this movement. We are showing and exposing the weaponized system of government, the two-tier system of justice that is coming for you, parents in Virginia who dare to go to a school board meeting or dare to go to a house of worship. That's and right. We need this to stop. And we just got to get our word out. And that's how we do it.
All right. Now, you went right by it, and I'm going to force you to engage in a personal shameless plug. Tell everybody the name of that book one more time. Come on now.
No, thank you, sir. It's Government Gangsters. Government Gangsters. And check this out. It's really cool. Donald Trump launched it 9 months ago. It's still a bestseller today. Donald Trump called it a roadmap for 2024 and a blueprint on how to demolish the deep state that is corrupting Washington. We can solve all these agencies and departments that have robbed us of the truth and create an alternate system of justice. And get this, Steve Bannon, before he went into prison, turned Government Gangsters into a film. You can now watch this anywhere in America at warroom.film, warroom.film. Also, we are doing a live screening in the Virginia, D.C. area in short order and in about 15 other states. So if you want the truth, if you want the ammo, governmentgangsters.com and warroomfilm.com. Get the book, get the movie, have a screening. I'll give it to you for free if you put 100 people in the audience.
All right. Well, challenge accepted. We will absolutely do that. We'll get it. I'm going to get it posted on all of my social media. I'm sure you won't mind if I have my social media guy put it in.
Not at all.
Right, my online bookstore. Let people get it. And I'd love to get you back as we get closer and closer, man. You are energized. You are talking about the right issues. And I think even some of those UVA people are thinking, well, Spider, but he still seems like a good guy.
Yeah. You think, oh, those guys have a couple of national championships. Cut me some slack.
I love it. Well, we will talk to you soon, I hope. That is Kash Patel, really rock-solid guy, and talk about the information that we need, right? Were we not talking about this no more than a couple of moments ago before Kash joined us? How can we combat the misinformation and disinformation, right? The left love those terms. They use them improperly, but they love them. How can we tell the truth, show the truth, exactly what Kamala Harris has been doing for the last 4 years? But look at her entire career. She's wrong on every single solitary issue that matters to you, that matters to me. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 4:52, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is about inflation, is it not? Well, I just heard the report, Jeff. They said it was only up a tiny little amount. It's the smallest it's been up in 3 years. Okay. Here's the way inflation works. It's a little bit like you're making a sandwich. And I'm using this as an example because I like sandwiches. And I like making sandwiches. So let's say you start with one piece of bread. One piece of bread. And on that sandwich, you place, well, you got to have some sort of condiment, right? All right, I pick one, mustard, mayonnaise, whatever it is. But okay, but you put that on there. And then you put a slice of meat. Pick whatever meat you want. I don't care. All right, so you take the meat and you place one slice on there, and then you put another slice of bread on top of it. Now, technically speaking, you have made a sandwich, right? It's kind of thin, but you've made a sandwich. Now, let's say that that's 1 month of inflation. That's a pretty thin sandwich. Okay, it's not a lot. Now, take that top piece of bread off, put it on the side, add another piece of meat. Now, it's starting to look more like a sandwich, but it's also how inflation works. You have now put an additional bit of inflation on top of the original inflation. Now, you take that bread and you put it back, and now you've got that sandwich. But wait, there's more. Because every month with inflation, you take that top piece of bread off and you put another piece of meat on the sandwich. Now, it makes one hell of a sandwich, but the reality is you are not going to be able to swallow it. It will be too big. It will be like one of those old Dagwood-style sandwiches. That's how inflation works. So every time you hear Kamala Harris or any of her ludicrous supporters tell you, well, you know, it was only up by 0.9%. You say that is 0.9% on top of this percent, on top of that percent, on top of that percent. Think of the sandwich. She has made you an inflation sandwich that stands about, let me see, how many months? 48 slices high. That's a big old sandwich. It's going to choke you, though. That's how you have to think of inflation. It is such a giant sandwich that it will wind up killing you. Inflation, thanks to Kamala Harris, is keeping your son, your daughter, from having the ability to buy a home. That's Kamala Harris. That is Kamalanomics. She has done this. And every time she says, well, I'm going to do this if I'm elected, remind her she was elected. She is the vice president of the United States. And until, oh, I don't know, a couple of weeks ago, we were told she was part and parcel of every decision made in the White House. She is the problem. She's not the solution to the problem. Tomorrow morning, my friend John Reed is going to be here, 6 a.m. Please make sure you are listening for John. It is 4:56, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.